Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for, what is it, September the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. Man, we're solid as a rock. We've been nationally syndicated for 25 years this year, ladies and gentlemen. Telling the tale of liberty everywhere we go on your radio. Kirk Crosby's with me, localhoneyman.com, his website. Discussion of all things liberty, that's for sure. Last hour, we were celebrating the Heartbeat Law, or Heartbeat Act, gone into effect in Texas. Everything's bigger and better in Texas, they say. We wish our state and other states would follow suit in the protection of life. Where's all the Republicans that should be celebrating this? They've been advocating for life, they say, for decades, legislative session after legislative session, but not much has been done. But now Texas makes a bold, deliberate, direct move for states' rights, for the 10th Amendment, for dual sovereignty. I mean, whatever word you want to nullify now, all these words come to mind about Texas's move, and the Supreme Court decided, hey, they're not going to touch it, which means states' rights starting to make a difference, and thank heavens for that. Kirk Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
Headline says, after a difficult 2020, Kirk, workers plan to take more vacations. USA Today, are you one of them?
Well, that ought to help with the whole supply and demand thing, don't you think, Sam?
That ought to help contain the COVID, too, you know.
at least we, speaking about this upcoming, quote, weekend, if you will, like I remember old Zig Ziglar, he always wanted to call it the strong end. This upcoming one, we were invited to cruise somewhere, but I was just kind of like, man, you know, wouldn't it be nice just to just be home, not travel, not be, trying to sleep in some other bed or, you know, deal with, car travel, et cetera, and then wondering where you're going to go and who's going to want to, quote, force you to wear a mask or something like that, you know. But I guess I'm not really living the real American dream if I don't.
You don't want someone to find out you're not vaxxed and try to push you down the stairs or something like that? Okay. Mm,
good point, yeah. Just kind of off that, you know.
All right. Well, anyway, I just thought that was interesting. The CDC telling everybody, if you're not vaxxed, do not travel this weekend. I mean, these people are just like dictatorial thugs.
That's right, because those vaccinated people see they can pretty much go anywhere. It's almost as if they've had the, it's almost the Ponce de Leon thing. They've found the source of eternal life, and they've had it because somebody vaccinated them with some, special potion, you know. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah, they're drinking free bubble up and eating that rainbow stew, ain't they? You and I and the rest of us great unwashed are second class big time, don't you know? So I find that kind of interesting. Anyway, I bring that up because of the vacation weekend. A lot of people are going on vacation. We pray that you do so safely. And I get that people are stressed out and frustrated and, you know, people are agitated and irritated and, you know, people are experiencing all kinds of, you know, frustrations and turmoil. And, you know, whether you go on vacation or not, I think vacation is a great way to take a little bit of a break from the stress and unwind. I think that's always wise and good and healthy. But I'd also remind you to turn to God and turn to scriptures. I believe those things can provide a great comfort, a great strength, a great spiritual component that I think is greatly missing in America. That's why there's so much anxiety and everything else. Now, I'm not saying every anxiety case is related to the lack of spirituality, but I am telling you that increased spirituality and focusing on, in my opinion, the greater message, the things of importance, the greater things, if you will, really can make a difference to ratchet down or to back off from that feeling of stress and just, you know, anxiety and frustration and concern and worry and all those things that kind of wrap up. And I believe that turning to the scriptures and turning to prayer and maybe a little bit of church, a little time with family, a little bit of spirituality, a little bit of it takes you a long way towards mitigating a lot of those feelings and concerns and frustrations and pent up emotional stress factors. So anyway, that's where I would point you for that. Now, Joe Biden, I guess, refuses to answer questions about Afghanistan. He just praises it, says it was an incredible decision. He says, I'm not supposed to take any questions, Kurt. Now, did Biden just confirm that advisors are the ones kind of running the show, running his presidency? I'm not supposed to take any questions? Bob Unruh, WND.com, really drills into this with a column about it. But you got to kind of wonder when the president walks around, he hasn't said this once or twice. He's said this literally dozens of times now since he took office over the last, what, seven, 8 months, whatever number, almost 9 months now, or I guess 8 months. You know, I'm not supposed to take questions. Who's in charge, Kurt? Do we really have a shadow government to the degree that the president just flat out admits it on the stage every day?
Well, I think so, Sam. I mean, it's easy to see. And, you know, if you really want to look, ladies and gentlemen, deep down and look at the history of America and how that works, you know, you have these individuals behind the scenes that are basically pulling the strings of the puppets that are put there, and with very few exceptions, in my opinion. And Joe Biden is probably the it's hard to find a better example of that, don't you think?
Without question. And it's hard for me to know what should be done about it. Right now, you've got literally the Republicans. What's that main Republican guy at the top of the helm
now?
You got
McConnell. Are you talking about the head of the Senate? Mm-hmm.
McConnell's running around now saying, hey, we're not going to impeach Joe. That's just not happening. Forget it. President Joe Biden will not be impeached or removed from office for his handling of the U.S. military withdrawal from Afghanistan, Mitch McConnell said Wednesday. So Mitch has already, in my opinion, jettisoned the impeachment idea. And I think there's a lot of reasons President Biden, or whatever you want to say. It's hard for me to call him president, by the way, is really, I think there's a lot of reasons he should be impeached. I don't know that I think the war is necessarily one of them, or his handling of the exit of the war. I think all presidents from both sides for a long time have been involved in this. I don't want to just give the blame to Joe. There's a lot of other reasons that I would consider impeaching Joe. But you know what? Now you've got top Republican leadership saying, hey, we're not going there. Now, the problem is when you say that, it might be for a different reason, but you squelch impeachment opportunities or options for all kinds of other things. So President Joe Biden will not be impeached or removed from office for, and then these reasons. But the problem is once you say that unequivocally, it makes it a lot harder to impeach for any reason, Kurt.
Well, and the report that I saw with McConnell, and, you know, I hate to give him any kind of cover because I don't think he hardly deserves it at all. I mean, chief among the kingmen, or at least one of them would be him, if you ask me. But, you know, McConnell basically said, at least on the report I saw, he said, hey, with the Democrats in charge of the Senate and the House, you know.
Are in charge of the Senate?
Well, with Schumer and basically a 50-50 deal there with
Kamala
Harris.
Yeah, then you get the communist Kamala tiebreaker.
That's right.
But I kind of say, I don't know that you would say that's in charge. Yes, they have 51. But if you have no relationships across the aisle to where you can't get a single Democrat defector, I don't know. I wouldn't be making statements like that. I would basically, if I was in his position, I would be saying, yeah, they might have 50-50 and they might have the tiebreaker. But you know what? We've got a lot of Democrats that feel as we do. And I don't believe they have the majority that they think they do. And so I think that that, again, is a very big mistake to make those kind of claims like we've already lost before we start ideas.
Well, yeah, but he's famous for that. He, along with Ryan, who was the Speaker of the House before, when you had the whole, all three areas in control of the Republicans, you know, you still had those two top dogs, McConnell and Ryan, in charge of those, you know, the House and the Senate. So you really had the Kingmen still in charge of those two parts of the lawmaking bodies, Sam. And so,
sad but true. You know, but I'm telling you right now, I don't know much about negotiating. Let me help these little boys out a little bit. One of the great keys to the negotiation is to appropriately position yourself quite a bit stronger than you may literally be, because oftentimes in that positive view of your strength, highlighting where you stand, oftentimes you get support and get benefits from that position, whether you deserve them or not. And so even if I don't have the majority in the Senate, I'm going to use my 50, and I'm going to use my ability to influence people and reach across the aisle to say, you know what, you don't have as many people in your group as you think you do. There's people who are on the budget, for example, conservative Democrats who the blue dog Democrats or whatever, who budgetarily don't agree with you. There's people who, for moral reasons, you know what, there's a few Democrats that are reject abortion. Well, it doesn't matter the issue. We've got people on our side that will stick with us. And I think they've already lost by, in my opinion, they've already lost before they start with their attitude and what they've literally put on the table. Very foolish, in my humble opinion. And I don't think we ought to impeach Joe over the war in Afghanistan necessarily. But when Joe Biden refuses to answer questions to the boss, we the American people, about Afghanistan, and then when he says, I'm not allowed to answer questions, who's in charge around here? Impeach of that.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. So, I think Joe Biden should be impeached. Primarily, again, because you know what? When you literally say, I'm not supposed to take questions, you know what? Who told you that? Who gave you that instruction? What authority do they have to tell the president not to talk to the media and to the people who hired him, elected him, if the election was even genuine, which, again, is a whole other discussion. But all I'm telling you is shame. President Joe Biden will not be impeached, says Mitch McConnell. Wow. A statement like that, you've already put all your cards on the table and lost the debate. I think you need a little bit better negotiators up there than that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, I would pitch my position very strongly And even if you lose, I would still then come out of the gate with the next one. You know what? I think I can find people that can stand with me. I'm convinced I can. You know what? The truth is on our side. Okay, you articulate the case the best you can, even if you don't hold all the cards, ladies and gentlemen. You could say it's a little bit of bluffing, but you could also say it's a little bit of faith, a little bit of hope, a little bit of positive attitude and belief that people will do what's right, given the chance, right? So it's not all just smoke and mirrors. It's more of a hope-based and a I-can-make-a-difference-based viewpoint about where we stand. And anyway, what a shame that is. All right, Kurt, I've got a problem with a group, and I want to tell you about it. Do you know who Harmy Dillon is? Or Harmy Dillon?
I mean, I might have seen the words before.
All right, it's a female attorney, Kurt, who's quite well known, and usually, you know, pretty much on the side of liberty and everything. And as you know, I got kicked off Twitter because I got an article in LifeSite News as well as an Israeli newspaper that said more people were dying because of the vaccines in the elderly population than from the COVID. And so I reported that news, whatever you want to say, headline, where doctors in Israel are claiming this, and two newspapers with credibility reported it. So I reported it as well. Well, as you know, they don't like what they call fake news, and so Twitter said it was fake news and shut me down. And then they said, but if you repent and pull that, you know, headline down, we'll put you back up on Twitter. And I refused. And the reason I refused is primarily because I'm saying, hey, I have every right to report this. You may or may not agree with the facts in it, but look, these are physicians in Israel who are making this claim, who are backing it up with numbers, and who are documenting it in an Israeli newspaper and in LifeSite News. So I feel like I should be able to report this too. They said no, shut me down. They gave me the chance to repent and take it down. But my attitude is I don't want to always be in, quote, what do you want to call it? Twitter purgatory, where I'm always basically pulling things down so they keep me afloat, kind of a thing. I don't want to play that game. I want to stand on the truth. So anyway, long story short, I got an email from Harmeed Dillon. And it says, we're suing Twitter and we need your help. So I thought, fantastic, man. What I'll do is call them, maybe help with a couple of bucks, promote to my listeners to help with a couple of bucks. And you know what? Help with maybe a class action or whatever else. So I got a hold of their law offices and everything, and it took me a while, but they eventually had Harmeed email me back. And she said, hey, what can I do for you? And I said, I'd like to talk to you about my case. You know, here's in summary what happened to me or whatever, and I would really like to join you guys. And she writes back and says, we don't have a class action. What you're doing isn't part of what we're doing, and you need to go to Trump's team for that. Trump's filing the class action against Twitter. And I wrote back and said, I understand. I'd like to interview you about what you're doing and see how I can help and see if my case has some relevance or whatever. And anyway, then she wrote back and said, you know, go to Trump. And anyway, long story short, she just wrote back and said, hey, goodbye. I've already told you to go to Trump. There's nothing for us to talk about. So she wouldn't discuss it with me on the phone. She wouldn't really learn more about my case. She really didn't want anything to do with it except for send me to Trump, and we're doing what we're doing, and you're doing what you're doing, and, you know, I don't really have time for an interview with you at all. And I look at that, and I say, then after that, she keeps me on some list that somehow she got that she keeps me on where she keeps saying we need help with Twitter. We're suing with Twitter. We're suing Twitter. We need your help. Please donate money. So the truth is that, you know what, they're not interested in my case. They're not interested in anything but me giving them money to help them with their case. And that's it. And so anyway, I'm quite disappointed in that kind of an interaction or exchange. I'm not here to attack Harmeed. And I hope that they are successful in their lawsuit. I think their cause and their circumstances and their is just. But I also kind of think, you know what, to just be standoff to me, a nationally syndicated talk show host, to ignore my issue and not, you know, help me get to Trump if she can, or help me in some way further my case is just shameful. And then to keep begging me for money after the fact, after she's already told me goodbye. I mean, in her email, it literally says, I told you to go to Trump, basically goodbye. And I look at that and I go, you know what? A lot of these people begging us for money, I don't know if they're the real deal or not. I just look at that and go, it's sure not a Christian helping hand for sure. I don't know how to get to Trump. I know people are like, just call Donald. He'll help you. He's in a class action lawsuit. Get a hold of his attorneys. I can't get a hold of Trump or his attorneys or anybody around him, no matter how hard I try. Well, Sam, all you got to do is fill out this form on the internet. Don't you know there's a way to do it? No, there's not. I even tried to go to Mike Lindell's event, literally signed his form. He wrote back, or they wrote back to me and said, hey, we're deciding who gets to come or not. We reserve the right to not have people come. Anyway, then they basically ignored me, and I never got the chance to go. Now, never mind that I got sick and probably couldn't have gone anyway. But I'm just saying, some of these people I don't think are as genuine as it first appears, Kurt. And I hate to be the whistleblower on this, and I hate to be the naysayer and divide the patriot community. But at the same time, I feel an obligation to speak up a little bit. Hey, if this Harmeet Dillon wants you to put a bunch of money into her cause, I'd be pretty hesitant. I really would. Not because her cause isn't just, but because are the patriots going to work together on anything? Or are we just not part of the real patriot crowd? And we've been on the radio for 25 years. We've been in a lot of some of the most critical places for reporting you could possibly be in. We've interviewed some of the most top, you know, positioned people in America. If you believe in some are more important than others, kind of an idea. At some point, I just look at this and go, something's wrong, Kurt. Something's not making any sense. Anyway, there's my report. That's what literally happened with the Mike Lindell scenario and with this Harmeet Dillon thing. And so I've got now, I'm shut down on Twitter, and I don't have any place to go for a redress of grievance. I can't afford a lawsuit against Twitter all by myself. I don't know who I can join. Harmeet says, go to Trump. I can't help you. Goodbye. I don't know who to go to. But I look at this and I go, is there any opportunity for redress of grievance for me? I don't see how. Kurt, your thoughts?
Well, I think, you know, the key thing that you've got, at least in your, I guess you could say your quiver, Sam, is the fact that at least, you know, you're able to broadcast and to present these issues and tell these stories, you know, from your point of view. And, you know, in this case, this lady who's supposedly, you know, at least Wikipedia says she's an American lawyer and a Republican Party official, you know, hey, you had personal interaction with her, just like you did years ago with Glenn Beck, you know, in the border and that whole thing. And you've done your best with the Mike Lindell thing. I will say this, at least out of those, you know, I don't know this lady, Harmeet Kaur Dillon, says she was divorced. She's grew up in India. Family moved to America. She became the writer there at of the Dartmouth Review, the editor-in-chief there. And, you know, I mean, she's got some cool stuff there. But when the, I guess you could say when the rubber meets the road, not much really happening, if you ask me, except for we got to bring in some extra bucks. When it comes to Mike Lindell, you know, what I see is a guy doing his best and saying, hey, man, you know, I'm trying to keep my company alive and all that kind of stuff and keep America alive. And yet he seems to be putting his own money instead of just telling everybody else to put in their money. So, you know, that's where I see that a little differently. And then,
yeah,
of course,
I
mentioned Glenn Beck, you know, and apparently Glenn is doing a lot of good work lately in helping try to bring out individuals that are in there in Afghanistan, you know, left high and dry by our own government officials, right?
That's for sure. And I think that's a big shame, too. I think that's a horrible shame. Anyway, I don't mean to attack these people, ladies and gentlemen. I don't mean to act like they're our enemies. I just find it very interesting. You know, when you try to get a hold of a lot of these people to help them, they don't really want your help. They don't really want to talk to you. Now, if you go ahead and ching-ching the cash register, they're interested in your cash, but they're not interested in any other involvement or partnership or ways to promote things. It's just very strange. When we come back, we'll talk about this judge that attacked the attorneys helping Donald Trump with vote fraud in seconds.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The governors of New York and New Jersey declared states of emergency as heavy rainfall and flash flooding caused havoc across the northeastern United States overnight. Power outages were estimated to have hit over 101,000 customers in Pennsylvania and another 100,000 in New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. New York City's Central Park recorded 3.15 inches of rain falling in 1 hour last night. The Supreme Court of the United States has refused to block a Texas law banning abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. The judges voted 5-4 early on Thursday to deny an emergency appeal from abortion providers. The Heartbeat Act went into effect on Wednesday in Texas. A majority of American voters, 52% in a Rasmussen poll, say President Biden should resign because of the way he handled the Afghanistan withdrawal. 1,000 likely voters were polled. USA Radio News.
You take steps to stay healthy when at the pharmacy picking up vitamins or filling a prescription.
May I help you?
Take another healthy step right now and ask the pharmacist how Prevnar 13 can help protect you from pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease. If you're 65 or older, a trip to the pharmacy is a lot more pleasant than a trip to the hospital because of pneumococcal pneumonia. Help protect yourself with the Prevnar 13 pneumococcal 13 valent conjugate vaccine, diphtheria CRM197 protein. Prevnar 13 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 13 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 13 does not protect against all strains of the disease. Stop by the pharmacy today and ask about Prevnar 13. Learn more at Prevnar13.com. Don't get Prevnar 13 if you have had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with a weakened immune system may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-866-694-9300 or visit Prevnar13.com.
Now that the United States is out of Afghanistan, military brass spoke at a press conference Wednesday. John Clemens from the Texas USA Radio News Bureau reports.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was first to speak from the Pentagon.
America's longest war has come to a close.
Later, a reporter presented a question to Army General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, about negotiating with the Taliban, now in full control of Afghanistan.
We don't know what the future of the Taliban is, but I can tell you from personal experience that this is a ruthless group from the past. And whether or not they change remains to be seen.
Russia has raised concerns over wear and tear of the International Space Station and suggested it could leave the ISS after 2025. Russia is saying at least 80% of in-flight systems on the Russian segment of the ISS had passed their expiration date, and small cracks in the hull could get worse over time. The station was built in 1998. USA Radio News.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Kurt Crosby, Sam Bushman on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. So Judge Linda V. Parker ordered sanctions for pro-Trump lawyers Sidney Powell, L. Lynn Wood, and Severn other lawyers, ladies and gentlemen. They say that they deceived the courts. That's interesting. And they debased the judicial process, a federal judge wrote, ruling that a lawsuit laden with conspiracy theories that they filed last year challenging the validity of the presidential election was a historic and profound abuse of the judicial process. She further, in her decision, ordered the lawyers to be referred to the local authorities in their area, in their home states, for possible suspension and disbarment. Further, she went on, declaring the lawsuit should have never been filed, and she sanctioned them. I have never seen such outrageous abuse from the courts in my entire life, Kurt.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Sam, but, you know, as they say, when you're catching flack, you're right on target. And I think that's this is a perfect example of that. I'm looking at the dailymail.co.uk piece on it, where it says, and you can tell their twist, at least by the headline, just like you can of the story you were just reading. But it says, Trump's Kraken lawyer Sidney Powell and attorney Lynn Wood face being disbarred over or after federal judge sanctioned them over abusive 2020 election lawsuits. I mean, most of these judges and attorneys, they ought to know what abusive lawsuits are, because, you know, so many of them are, well, what fill our courts today. They do give these sub-headlines or bullet points before the story. They say, U.S. District Judge Linda Parker, the one you mentioned, said attorneys engaged in, quote, abusive practices, end quote. Yeah. Powell and Wood, what's abusive, Sam, trying to get to the truth? Powell and Wood filed the lawsuit in November claiming the election was rigged. Yeah, that's certainly you know, a problem. You know, you wouldn't want to claim that the emperor has no clothes. These sanctions, they say, have been referred to their home states for disciplinary action. They say they will have to take 12 hours of legal classes and could face disbarment. It's kind of like when you might say or do something wrong, and then you're told to go to what is it, you know, training, extra training at your job or whatever, so that you know how to talk these days and to say certain things the right way. They go on, they say Parker also ordered them to pay state and city officials legal fees. That's all how they do it. They're trying to, you know, basically bankrupt them so they'll quit being these problems or these flies in the ointment. She called the pro-Trump attorney's lawsuit a historic abuse of U.S. courts. Isn't it amazing, the pot calling the kettle black? Then they say Rudy Giuliani had his law licenses temporarily suspended in New York and Washington, D.C.
Let me stop you there for a second, Kurt. This is where I really think the rubber meets the road. How can attorneys in good faith represent things that they truly believe they have evidence for, documentation regarding, if the judges can just flat out strip these attorneys of their licenses because they don't like the road they're going down? Kurt, we don't stand a chance in America then for any attorneys to defend any unpopular view, regardless of the evidence, because you'll never get there. The whacked out extremist activist judges will just go psychotic on you and say, oh, you know what? You're done. Kurt, your license is gone. How dare you? To the point where I don't think we have a justice system left. Now, let me explain kind of the core of what Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood and others are saying. They're saying, hey, we as an attorney have reviewed the evidence, reviewed the witnesses, reviewed the affidavits, reviewed the and here's the documentation we have, and we believe it's sufficient to file a lawsuit. Now, the lawsuit may go against those attorneys. That's one discussion. Okay, so we're saying it can go for and against in terms of winning. But now what they've done is they've taken the attorneys and said, you don't even have a right to evaluate the evidence yourself. You don't even have a right to determine the validity of what you're, you know, the documentation that you have, and then to file it based on the arguments of the court. The attorneys are simply saying, look, we've got enough evidence to where we're convinced this is worthy of a court proceeding. But what they're saying now, what this whacked out extremist psychotic judge is saying now is, you don't even have the ability as attorneys to do that. And you're always going to be in fear that your license will be revoked, that you'll be shut down, that they'll shatter your bread bowl. They'll destroy your career on the altar. If you don't have, I mean, if you have a case that is unpopular, if you have a case that you think we might want to touch, you don't even dare file it anymore because you'll be done if you do. This is a serious breakdown in the judicial reality. This is a serious, serious problem. Whether you agree with Sidney Powell, whether you agree with Lynn Wood or not, and these other seven attorneys, I happen to agree with them, by the way. But whether you do or not, though, you got to understand this is a serious, serious violation, in my opinion, of judicial honor and integrity, Kurt. This is a huge blow to anything that speaks of justice, anything that speaks of getting proper representation for your case, for your situation, for your view. Because pretty soon attorneys are going to go, nah, I'm not going to touch that. My career will be jettisoned by a judge in a second. Forget it. Okay, to the point where, Kurt, this could gut the very judicial system entirely, sir.
Well, I couldn't agree more, Sam, and yet at least we see glimpses of hope with what you mentioned earlier with the Texas abortion, or at least the Supreme Court leaving that ruling in place, or at least in that law in place in Texas protecting those babies. So, you know, it's at least when it comes to Lynn Woods and Sidney Powell, I believe these are you know, great servants of the Republic. These are individuals who have basically, they could have, you know, stayed on the gravy train and gone for the big bucks in the legal world, and yet they see problems like Mike Lindell has seen, and they go at trying to fix them the best they can, just as you have done, Sam, over the years. And so, you know, I hats off to them. And once again, when you're catching flack, you're right on target. And these,
I agree with that. I also have one more question about this, though, Kurt. What do these attorneys do now?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, now they're fighting whether they could even have their law licenses, whether they could be part of the bar, whether their law licenses will be valid. Same with Giuliani or whatever. You know, where do these lawyers go now? In other words, who do you call when justice isn't served to this point? These attorneys, what can they do now? Can they file an appeal? What, I mean, I'm not an attorney, so I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't like the fact that this edict from this whacked out judge, with all of our statements and everything else, not only is she saying we don't think your case is worthy, but we're going to go after you. We're going to recommend that we send this to your home states, that you be disbarred, that you, whatever, this case shouldn't have been filed. I don't know that judges should be saying those kind of things, showing their activism from the bench. I mean, it's extreme to the point of, wait a minute now, you may disagree with us on the case. You may even dismiss the case, Judge, but now you're literally going after the attorneys as if there's not only no merit, but that they've somehow crossed the line of criminality by filing this case. I mean, something is wrong here, Kurt, to the extreme. And I don't know who's bringing this up but me, right? Like, I don't hear anybody else really speaking out about this anywhere, hardly. I want to defend Lynn Wood, and I want to defend Sidney Powell and these other seven attorneys saying, hey, you may not like the case, Judge, but there's nothing wrong with the legal precedent that they have every right to file this, that they have every right to claim, look, we're not debating the merits. We're just here to tell you that we look at it. We see the documentation. We see the affidavits and the evidence, and we think it's worthy of filing, and we think it's worthy of carrying the case forward to see what maybe a jury appears or however the case would go down, what they would say about this. Let them decide. But the judge is saying, no, I don't even agree you should file this, and I'm going to go after you. What do you want to say, criminally? Or I don't know what terms, because I'm not an attorney. I don't know if it's criminally to say you shouldn't have filed it. We're going to go after you and disbar you and fine you and do all these things to you. But the repercussions are just so extreme to where, to me, it gives rise for concern for the whole judge. Is anybody bringing this stuff up like this but me, Kurt? I don't know anybody speaking out about this.
They don't want to touch it, Sam.
All I'm telling you is they sure as heck should be, ladies and gentlemen. Your whole justice system is in jeopardy over this kind of abuse from the bench by belligerent, crazy, whacked out extremist judges with a vendetta. It's out of control, folks. Hang tight.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, final point on Sidney Powell, L. Lynn Wood, and seven other attorneys. All I can say is this, it's an absolute shame. Whacked out activist Judge Linda V. Parker. I mean, she's crazy. The bottom line is all I can say is I defend them, I pray for them, and I'll do all that I can to help them. I don't know what more to say or what more that I can do except for bring this up and try to highlight the realities of the situation as I see it and then to pledge my support in any way possible. I mean, this is out of control, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, and one thing before we leave the Sidney Powell thing is,
sure.
You know, she has been a guest on our program, Sam, and she also... I see a piece from Newsweek. Now, I'm not telling you that it's going to be
flattering.
Yeah, that's right. But at least Newsweek, the headline reads, Ron Johnson. Now, do you remember who this guy is? Ron Johnson?
Oh, he's a governor.
He's a senator.
Or something.
Senator, okay. From Wisconsin. So it says, Ron Johnson supports audit of 2020 election in Wisconsin, says he's talked to Sidney Powell. So when you look at it, this is a Republican Wisconsin senator out of the Republicans that are in the Senate. I'd say Ron Johnson in the top five really getting to things. And basically he says he's spoken with Sidney Powell. And, of course, Newsweek puts in their little thing, says she has pushed baseless conspiracy theories about fraud in the 2020 election.
Yeah, it's baseless if you can never display your evidence, Kurt.
That's right. They do quote him, and he says, I really do think there's too much concentration on the voting machines. We have paper ballots. We have the machine logs. We've got the machine totals. We should be focusing on that. But the bottom line is, at least Cindy Powell's, I think, doing her work there the best she can. Her website, defendingtherepublic.org, you can go there to read what she has to say. There are other good reports and pieces of news there.
And by the way, over the next several weeks and months, we'll keep you up to date on that, too. We may even be able to reach out and have Sidney back, too. But all I'm telling you is I defend her. I think this judge is absolutely a criminal in her activism. I mean, it's out of control, folks. I mean, look, these seven attorneys plus these two, nine attorneys with one swath, a judge is just going to say, hey, you guys are criminal. You don't even, where's their trial? Where's their appropriate, redress of grievance? Where's their appeal? Where's their, I mean, it is out of control that one rogue thug can just dictate and just bam. I'm telling you, something's got to change for that, ladies and gentlemen. I think they ought to sue the judge. But the problem is, how do you do that when you've been disbarred? See what I mean? And then how do you get another attorney to help you when they know the road you've gone down? The other attorney's going, no, I don't think so. See, this the chilling reality of this, folks, is beyond imagination. I don't think that I'm understating the issue either. I mean, this is, no attorney's going to come to the aid of who, when, where, what, under these kind of circumstances. Because all they got to do is move that line even further to where any time that you bring up anything that they believe is conspiracy theory or that they believe you should, they don't want to talk about it, they don't want to rule on or anything else, they're just going to go, hey, we're not going to slap you on the wrist anymore. We're simply going to get you fired, and you're going to flat out have to jettison your career. Anyway, I could go on and on and on. I'm livid about
this. Well, I'll give you one other piece of good news, at least when it comes to the courts. You know, you remember the old phrase where they'd say, the wheels of justice grind slowly. And I would say, yeah, they grind slowly when it comes to getting things done correctly, like with Ammon Bundy or, you know, so many others that we've seen in the past. Here's one that kind of fits that. The headline from Washington Times, judge tosses case against Roy Moore's campaign stemming from molestation claim. And, you know, there was very little mention of this or, you know, I mean, but if you're not familiar with this whole thing, ladies and gentlemen, in 2018, Judge Roy Moore, who, in my opinion, you'd have a hard time finding a more appropriate, you know, constitutional conservative candidate. Anyway, he was, well, in my opinion, falsely accused of a number of different items, which led to his loss in the Alabama Senate race. And yet now they're finding out, yeah, this lady made it up and the case is gone. But see, that was 2018. Now we're at 2021. So not much going on there, but the Montgomery Circuit Judge there ruled that this lady, and I use that term loosely here, Lee Korfman, did not prove that campaign staff and volunteers knowingly made false statements or acted with reckless disregard for the truth as they denied the misconduct claims in the midst of the 2018 race. But see, we're way past that, and the damage has been done, hasn't it, Sam?
Yes, and they've learned well. That's how they can go ahead and attack people. They try the same things with Richard Mack. They, you know, they do this all the time. Because what do you do about it at the end of the day after the fact?
Very tough. The one thing that gives me hope is that Roy Moore and his wife Kayla, they continue to fight on. They say it's, you know, basically not just about them. It's about the Republic you know, what we're trying to do here is make it better for our children and grandchildren, et cetera. And so hats off to Judge Roy Moore for his continued efforts. Right, Sam?
Amen to that, sir. All right, that is wonderful, good news. And if you study what Roy Moore says, he says it allows us to move forward now to the next steps of really getting to the bottom of this and creating accountability. So we'll see where the cases go from here forward, and our prayers are with Judge Roy Moore for sure on that as well. All right, I want to move to a topic that is just insanity. Professors are now having the view that white people should commit suicide as their last act to be ethical. So, Kurt, for what you need to do is commit suicide as your last ethical act. Because you know you're a racist, and if we want to rid the world of racism, the most ethical thing you can do is commit suicide. Here's a clip of the professor, and then we'll talk about it. This is insanity.
He made the assertion that white people should commit suicide as an ethical act. And here's a quote from him directly. The reality in South Africa today is that most white people spend their whole lives only engaging black South Africans in subservient positions. My question is then, how can a person not be racist if that's the way they live their lives? The only way then for white people to become part of Africa is not to exist as white people anymore. If the goal is to dismantle white supremacy, and white supremacy is white culture, then the goal has to be to dismantle white culture and ultimately white people themselves. The total integration into Africa by white people will also automatically then mean the death of white people, as white as a concept would not exist anymore. So here's the kind of crazy gambit of this talk. I want to suggest that psychoanalytically, we could even make the argument that there was something ethical in Delport's statements. Now, I suppose, you know, parenthetically, we could say that Delport's kind of a young, fired up academic, and maybe, you know, there's a little bit too much of a dramatization in some of his comments. But nevertheless, I want to make the argument that there is some kind of ethical dimension to his provocations. I think that Delport took his white audience to the threshold of a type of symbolic extinction, or at least the contemplation of what that might be. He took them to a proposed end of whiteness. Or in more psychoanalytic terms, we could say that Delport offered his white audience the opportunity, one they didn't seem to appreciate for the most part, but the opportunity to contemplate what we could call the castration of whiteness.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I don't even know how to respond to this, but white people should commit suicide as their ethical act.
You've got that disease.
Now, this is
got that whiteness.
I know it,
Sam.
Yes, this is a professor by the name of Derek Hook. He's at the Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania College. This guy's literally saying this kind of stuff.
Duquesne University. I don't know for sure how you say that, but it's just insane, Sam. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to respond to a guy like this, but imagine that, you know, you say that kind of stuff, and nobody really seems to bat an eye. But if a James Edwards says, hey, I want to advocate for my heritage as a Southerner and as a white person, then they're like, whoa, man, you're an evil racist hater. And then they're promoting critical race theory in these colleges. And we're literally funding this guy with our tax dollars, Kurt.
Good point. What about the, there's a song, Sam, says something like, what is it? White boy. I can't remember the song. I should have written it down. But, you know, I was listening to it. I think at least I heard part of it somewhere just lately in it's got white boy in it in the song. And I thought, man,
well,
if that
it's dirty white boy,
black
it's a corner
boy,
song. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. No.
All right.
But if it changed the name as Black Boy, then there'd be trouble, you know. But, you know,
right,
they can pretty much take down any, quote, whiteness that's available, right?
Yeah, and I'm just a simpleton, Kurt. I'm kind of the guy that just says, listen, we're all God's children. We're all of the great human race. Everybody has different heritage, different culture, different. Let them all celebrate those things. Why can't we learn about one another and celebrate one another's life? Why don't we do our very best to have a life well lived amongst all of us? And you know what? We're all God's children, and when are we going to start acting like it? See, I say that kind of stuff, and they say, see, you're a racist, buddy. You're out of control.
I think it's called Play That Funky Music, White Boy.
White Boy. There you go, yeah. Absolutely.
Anyway, Play That Funky Music, White Boy.
If you would have brought this up a little earlier, I would have tried to fire that dude up for you.
But I mean, imagine if it was turned around, Sam.
Play that funky music right.
I mean, it'd be real troubles, right?
Play that funky music, brothers. Can you say that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like you say, man.
We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we, Kurt?
Well, that's what I thought, Sam. But then that's. I guess that's hate speech in the world today, right?
Yeah, by the way, I don't want anybody to commit suicide. I want everybody to celebrate life. I want everybody to celebrate their heritage, whatever it be. I want us all to learn about one another's heritages and have respect. I want us all to jettison any wrongs of the past. I want us to move forward in faith and hope and humility as brothers and sisters under God's laws and followers of Christ. And I want hope for the future for us all, Kurt. As I want us all to realize that we all have God-given inalienable rights, and that's what the Constitution advocates for, and I just want to help move forward with that view in mind. I almost ruined the
You are here. Definitely a problem, Sam, with that kind of thinking. You can see why, you know, guys like you have got to be feared. For sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is about God, family, and country. It is about the protection of life, liberty, and property. It is about we the people standing together for the sacred cause of liberty. And it's about news the networks refuse to use and us bringing it to the Liberty Roundtable live discussions on a daily basis, Monday through Saturday on your radio, so that we can all keep up on what's happening around the world and so that we can all be unified in our quest. We believe we can preserve the nation. We believe that we'll do our very best in trusting God for the rest. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, LocalHoneyMan.com. Spread the word. God save the Republic of the United States of America.